Welcome to another Outside Right podcast. I'm editor Chris Lee. I'm joined by Jane Wamba, whose new book, Crash of the Buffalo, looks at the tragic fate of the Zambian national side in 1993. Welcome, Jane.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
Thanks for coming on. This is a fascinating topic. I don't cover Africa anywhere near as much as I should do, and it's great to see new books coming out about it. Before we do talk about your new book, could you briefly introduce us to you and your work, please?
I was a sports reporter in Zambia. I worked for the Zambia Daily Mail from 1982, January 82 to December 88, when I moved to New York, basically to continue my education. I did that, and I stayed on. I was offered a job, and I stayed on in New York. I still cover soccer, football, or they call it soccer here, and I cover boxing as well. But I do other stuff, of course. My day job, it's at a one of the leading colleges in the U.S., at the City College of New York. So I'm in the communications media team. So Zambian football, it was. I spent six exciting years covering football in Zambia, and Zambia is one of those old African powers. Our fortunes, the fortunes of Zambian football, are not as good now, but they were one of the old African powers, easily one of the top three, four teams for decades. Even after the crash, they were still, a very strong team, and culminating in the 2012. AFCON victory, they won the African title in 2012. Things have not been the same since, but they are one of the old African powers, and they probably should have achieved more had it not been for the crash of April 1993.
Indeed. And so your new book, Crash of the Buffalo, covers the tragic fate, as we mentioned, of the Zambian national side, who in 1993 became the first national side to be wiped out in a plane crash, which is obviously a terrible thing for the country and obviously the team and for football in general. But it's arguably not well, as well known as, say, the Munich air disaster in 1958 or the Superga disaster that killed Il Grande Torino side in 1949, or even more recent Chapecoense disaster down in South America. So, firstly, what inspired you to write the book?
The inspiration came from the success that Zambian football had enjoyed in the past. As you say, the tragedy was covered globally, but of course, it's been 3 decades since, and a lot of people have forgotten. You've got a new generation of players, who I believe should be aware of this incident. So I got inspiration from different sources. You look at Leroy Sané, Bayern Munich player. Last time I read, his father played for Senegal against the rebuilt Zambian team. So obviously, players like Leroy, in the late 20s, who are approaching their 30s, may not be aware of this tragedy. But it's something I think all football players, all football fans, sports reporters should be aware of. It was a dark moment in. International sports and in football, particularly.
I'm sure most of my listeners are probably not familiar with the context of Zambian football in the early 1990s and the build-up to this crash. Can you set the scene for us, please? Because this is a period when African football is in the ascendancy. Cameroon had a great Italia 90 World Cup. Nigeria were building towards their 1996 Olympic gold win. George Weah wins Ballon d'Or, of course, in 95. But what is happening in Zambia in the early 90s in the build-up to 1993?
Cameroon, of course, as you mentioned, 1990, Italia 1990, they shocked the world in the opening game. They shocked Diego Maradona, world champions Argentina, and everybody across the African continent is ecstatic, and Zambians were ecstatic too, because this is a team, Cameroon, that Zambia had stunningly eliminated from the 1986 World Cup in Mexico, Zambia defeated Cameroon 4-1 in Lusaka. They tied 1-1. Roger Miller, Thomas Nkono, all those players were there. And so things were looking bright. It's like, well, if Cameroon can do this, we can do this too. And actually, because of the exploits of Cameroon and to an extent, Egypt, because Egypt was also at Italia 1990, they drew famously drew with the Dutch. And they drew with Ireland as well. FIFA, at that point, you had two African teams in the World Cup. And Africa was granted a third slot, and Zambia were actually favored, to qualify for USA 94, the 1994 World Cup in the United States. So Zambia's booting up to this, and everybody was excited. Everything was looking good, having tragedy struck.
Can you talk us about through that, what exactly happened? Because the plane itself had maintenance issues, didn't it?
Yes, it's so they're using a Air Force plane, transport plane, military plane that unfortunately had been parked. It had been grounded, granted what they call AGO status, aircraft on the ground, AOG status, for like about four or five months. And I still haven't been able to find out why. I did ask, nobody could provide the information, provide the answer. But a week before, so Zambia's qualifying, they engaged in this qualifying series. They were in a playoff group with Senegal and Morocco, and only one of those three teams was going to advance to the World Cup finals in the USA. And as I mentioned, Zambia was looking good because the core of this team, the core of the Zambian team, had played at the 1988 Seoul Olympics. They had defeated Italy 4-0, for the famous Kalusha-Walia hat trick, and they reached the quarterfinals. They lost to West Germany, then West Germany. Jürgen Klinsmann scored a hat trick against Zambia. So things were looking up. So they engaged in this qualifying series, and they start off for their first game in Dakar. So this plane, they're flying in this Buffalo plane, hence the title, Crash of the Buffalo. That had been actually purchased, one of seven planes purchased in 1976 from de Havilland in Canada. It's a Canadian-built plane. And so the plane, of course, had technical issues. It was parked for a long time. They wheeled it into the hangars and worked on it. Took him for a couple of test flights. One of the first test flight, went well. Second one did not go well. But I guess somebody signed off, on the trip. So they would have been hopscotching across the African continent, fly from Lusaka to Congo, Brazzaville, from Congo to Gabon, from Gabon to Ivory Coast, and from Ivory Coast to Dakar. And the first leg again, there were issues after the first leg landed in Congo, Brazzaville, and there was problems with the left engine. The port side, and but they continued with the trip, landed in Gabon, refueled, and they took off, and the plane, seconds after taking off, plunges into the Atlantic Ocean. All the people on board, including 18 players, are killed.
And this is the 27th of April, 1993,
Correct.
Leoville, Gabon. So you said everyone perished, unfortunately, including 18 players. Can you talk some through some of the players who were on that plane?
The players, apart from aside from Kalusha-Walia, who was playing for PSV Eindhoven at that time, and apart from Charles Musonda, who was playing for Anderlecht, but although he had been injured at that time, and apart from Johnson Walia, who was playing in Switzerland, Zambia's best players were on that flight. Veterans, the goalkeeper, Efo Tshabalala was considered the best goalkeeper on the African continent. He was up there with Thomas Nkola, except he was playing in Africa, in Zambia. He'd had a stint with Argentina's juniors the previous year,
Oh, really?
but he was considered the best goalkeeper on the African continent. He was on the plane. You had midfielders, Dabi Makinka, a veteran, 27 years old, and he was just a couple of a few cups short of a century. Outstanding player. You had then new blood. Represented by Kevin Mutale, who just a year before had been playing in the second tier, the Zambian second tier, and within 12 months he went from playing second division soccer in Zambia to Saudi Arabia. And there was a move on the he told his brother just before departure that there was talk of him moving to Portugal, and he had scored like 14 goals. He was the Zambian Duncan Edwards, 23 years old, tremendous talent, tremendous goal scorer, and he of course perished. There was Eston Mwenga, a standing defender, solid defender, all lost. So it was a major blow to Zambian football,
Yeah,
major blow
absolutely.
to African football.
So how does Zambian football rebuild then in the immediate aftermath? Was there like an inquiry, or I mean, and then also how does the team actually rebuild?
Well, immediately, according to one of the reporters I spoke to, who actually traveled, they sent a plane, nice fancy plane. It was a DC-9 actually, to Gabon to bring back the remains, and the Gabonese were kind of surprised. It's like, wow, how come you've sent this nice shiny plane, to pick up these the remains when I've traveled on this, but that's another story. But long story short, a decision was made apparently even before the plane reached Gabon to return the bodies, that Zambia should continue with the qualification campaign for both the World Cup and for the 1994 AFCON, which was hosted by Tunisia. So a decision had already been made at that point. I think the president later, after the burial, he tells Kabusha, who was a captain of the team, who of course escaped the crash. He tells them that if we don't continue, the players, our heroes would have died in vain. So we must honor them by continuing with this qualification campaign. So they selected 60 players locally, and they were sent to Denmark. Zambia actually had reached out to the Danish government based on technical agreements that they had with certain countries, but the Danish were the first to respond. And Roel Poulsen, who was OB Odense, who had been OB Odense trainer, was asked, to lead this rebuilding process, and he agreed. And the new team spent almost 6 weeks, actually 5 weeks, 5.5 weeks in Denmark training, playing friendly games. And they come back, and so you're talking about maybe 7 8 weeks before, 7 or 8 weeks after the crash, they play Morocco and come from a goal behind to beat Morocco 2-1 in Lusaka.
And this is the
So
qualifier, yeah.
that's a qualifier, World Cup qualifier. That's the first game. Yeah, the Senegal game was rescheduled.
Right. So did they obviously didn't qualify. But like what, how close was it? How did that group end up?
Samuel came. They came a goal short. They fell a goal short of qualifying because after beating Morocco 2-1 in Lusaka, they played Senegal, and it was a goalless tie. And then Senegal came to Lusaka, beat Senegal 4-0. And then the final game was in Casablanca against Morocco. And this rebuilt Zambian team now just needed a draw. They needed tie to qualify for the 1994 World Cup. Unfortunately, they lost 1-0. That's how close they came to qualifying. New team.
And how long does it take for Zambia to recover as a national side, do you think, in terms of you said they won in 2012 the AFCON, but like what was the process between 94 and 2012?
Well, the thing is that I think Zambia had a large pool of players, real talented players. Now the thing is that the players that were caught up after the crash, they were pretty good players as well, but they couldn't get into the team because of the previous team, the previous players. That's how the level was, it was very competitive. But Zambia still, they were able to compete. So they took part in 1996. They go to of course 1994. They reached the Africa Cup final, AFCON final, without conceding a goal, without losing a game. And they play Nigeria, the Super Eagles, that Nigerian team that impressed at the World Cup in 1994. And Zambia had the lead against Nigeria, the big names, Yekini, Jeje Okocha, Sanle Odise. Yeah, Zambia takes the lead 1-0, but the Nigerians come back and win 2-1. But second half, Zambia was on top of the Nigerian team, but again, they fell short because just the talent couldn't match up with the Nigerian team. And in '96, they go to Korea, the President's Cup, and they reached the final there. They actually defeat South Korea. I think they became the second African team to beat South Korea in South Korea. They beat Korea 3-2, and they play Ecuador in the final, the President's Cup, and they lose 1-0. 1996 again, AFCON, they reached the semifinals. They lose to Tunisia, but they beat Ghana, Abedi Pele's team in the third place game. So the momentum is there. Of course, new talent is emerging. Some of the older players that played with the players killed in the crash are retiring, but they managed to maintain the momentum. And Kalusha at this point now is FAS, the Football Association chairman, and he brings in Alain Resnais, who is pretty well known now. He's coach of Saudi Arabia. They beat Argentina in the last World Cup, and now really he's able to to actually invigorate this team, the Zambian team, new players coming in, and he leads them to success in Gabon in the 2012 AFCON.
Is that the first major trophy that Zambia won, yeah?
Yes. That's the
Cool.
first major trophy, the first AFCON, Zambia's first AFCON. And that was actually on Zambia's third attempt. So they had reached the final in 1974, and they lost in replay to the old Zaire Leopards. And then, of course, they reached the final again in 1994, lost to Nigeria. And this is the third appearance in the final. And they beat Didier Drogba, Yaya Toure, Kolo Touré on penalties after extra 0-0 after extra time. And they defeat that powerful Ivorian team on penalties.
And of course, you mentioned Zaire. Obviously, that's now known as Democratic Republic of Congo, and that's your neighbor to the north.
That's right.
You got Zimbabwe to the south. Who's the big rival then, given where you are? International rival?
What right now?
Yeah, or at all in general, who's the team that Zambia like to play most or beat most?
Well, Zambia, the Morocco, and again, Zambia's playing Morocco in the World Cup qualifiers. It's touch and go right now, but Zambia has never lost to Morocco in Zambia, and of course, but on the flip side, we've never won in Morocco. So that's been a World Cup rivalry that goes back almost 50 years, that 1973. Yeah, the first time they played in 1973. And this is a Moroccan team that had played at the 1970 World Cup, and Zambia beat them 4-0 in Lusaka. So Zambia came close to qualifying for the World Cup in West Germany then as well. Yes, yeah, so let's say that's one of the World Cup rivalry that goes back a long ways here.
Yeah, and obviously semi-finalists last time around, weren't they, Morocco in the World Cup? So
That's
possibly
right.
the strongest African team at the moment, certainly most successful in World Cup in terms of progress. So can you talk us through the book writing process then, please? Who did you speak to during the research, course of researching this book?
Okay, in terms of the rebuilding process, of course, Paulson, Raoul Paulson, I was in touch with him. Unfortunately, he passed away in October last year. Yeah, but he provided detailed information on how he was able to rebuild this Zambian team. Spoke to Kalusha, of course. Kalusha Wally was captain then of the team that perished in the crash. He continued, and he was actually the major inspiration for the rebuild team. Yeah, you can say, if in basketball parlance, it's like Michael Jordan with the Chicago Bulls. He basically carried Zambia by the scruff, yeah, because there were times when the going was tough, and Kalusha stood up, yeah, and he would score vital goals, including the goal that qualified Zambia for the 1994 AFCON. This was against Bruce Grabula against Zimbabwe. Zambia had fallen a goal behind. They needed a draw. And but they got that draw, and it was a Kalusha header. So he was instrumental. So he provided detailed information of that process here.
Absolutely. Can you just fill us in on the domestic scene within Zambia? Who are the major sort of teams, and where's the sort of young player development come from?
The irony is that right now the domestic league is actually pretty developed. It's much more professional than previously. I mean, previously it was an amateur league. Maybe you can call it semi-professional team. Yeah, I mean, semi-professional league. But now it's much more developed. You've got teams, professional. You've got foreign players from outside, from within Africa. I'm sorry, that come to play in Zambia. So that shows the the potential. Now you have teams sponsored by like ZESCO, which has been pretty dominant. ZESCO is the Zambia Electricity Supply Corporation, I believe, the utility thing. So they and then Zanaco, the bank, it's a bank team, and other companies that fund teams. You've got the traditional, the old back in the day. Zambia is one of the world's top copper producing nations. So a lot of the clubs, especially on the copper belt, the area where most of the mines are located, were sponsored by the mines, and those teams still exist. Yeah, so they have a pretty good professional setup. Now, the only thing is that I guess it's global, it's all over the world. The quality, you don't really, you're not producing the same quality players that that we were producing in the past, 20, 30, 40 years ago.
So how many of them are playing in Europe, if we think of Europe as the sort of benchmark, it's the top leagues? Because I know Patson Daka was at Leicester City, wasn't he?
Yeah, Patson Daka was at Leicester. Unfortunately, and this is really interesting because Zambia, even in the past, has never really developed a lot of players that have gone overseas. So right now you mentioned Patson Daka. We had Enoch Mwepu, who was with Brighton of Albion, but he had to retire, health reasons. And Patson's the most high-profile player. You had Fashion Sakala, who played for Glasgow Rangers, is now in Saudi Arabia. But Patson really is like the key player. There are few. There's Kings Kongo, who's playing in Israel. There's a young, actually very promising young midfielder, Miguel Chaiwa, who's playing in, I believe he plays in, might be Germany, I might be mistaken, yeah. But we've never had the, the depth of players, and maybe that's a problem here.
Interesting, because the scouting networks, you think European scouting networks, if you've always been there or thereabouts, as one of the big African nations, you've got a lot of Nigerian players over here, Cameroonian players and things like that in Europe. Not so much Zambian. So do you think that scouts aren't coming down, or what?
Yeah, that's one reason. Yeah, they don't get the exposure, because that's very important here. Yeah, but the one thing I should say is that the few that we've had have really been outstanding. Like, of course, Kalusha was a really, was a top class player. Charles Musonda, unfortunately, his career was was ended by injury. He was outstanding for Anderlecht, and Johnson Wally was also a very good player. He played in Switzerland, and he scored some great goals for Zambia during his time here.
And just finally, what's the current health of the Zambian national side and the domestic scene?
Zambia national team, now they're under the tutelage of Avram Grant, with
Excellent.
Chelsea. But they have not really enjoyed the same success. The thing is that, like you mentioned, Morocco and some of these other teams are really, really a class above. So Zambia is kind of they need to work hard. They need to work hard to keep pace with teams like that. So in the World Cup qualifying group, obviously Morocco are basically runaway leaders. So Zambia right now they have 3 games remaining. They have a game with Niger. They have a game with Morocco. A game with Tanzania away. Actually, 2 home games. And the best they can hope for right now is probably get into the playoffs, finish second and get a playoff spot.
Brilliant, thank you. So the book is called Crash of the Buffalo, The Tragedy That Killed a Football Team and Rocked the World by Jane Wamba. It's out by Pitch Publishing. Just for disclosure, they're also my publisher. Where can people follow you online and see your work, please?
Well, right now I'm on Instagram. Instagram is JKM Scribe.
Okay, cool. Excellent. I'll link to that in the final piece. Brilliant, Jay, thanks so much for your time.
Well, thank
Thank
you
you.
very much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks again for tuning in. There's loads more on Outside Right, WRITE.co.uk. Look for us on social media, Blue Sky, YouTube, Instagram. I'm still a little bit active on X, but not so much. I've also restarted my Substack for mid-length content, so have a look there. If you like what we're doing, do please leave a review on your chosen podcast platform. Our next guest is Joey Durso, talking about his book, More Than a Shirt. Until then, goodbye.